tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's October 2nd, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. Now, you're probably used to my head getting really, really small and disappearing off into the corner about now, but we're going to do things a little bit different today. That's because we've had several guests willing to come on the show, and they all kind of had availability today. So what I'm going to do is release those interviews as different episodes, not only tonight, Wednesday, but Thursday and Friday as well, so that you can get the best of all of those interviews and get all that information as well. And we'll be back to the normal news cycle probably over the weekend. We've got Tesla numbers, record sales figures everywhere. Everybody's talking about NLX's meltdown. I don't have answers for any of that. And until I do, I'd rather just not say anything. So we're going to find out more about all of that stuff. But while we wait for that, I want to talk to you about our first guest. This is Sylvie Binder. She is from the New York City Mayor's Office, specifically the New York City Mayor's Office of Climate and Environmental Justice, where they have just announced North American Electric Construction Coalition that is all about bringing electric, heavy equipment, heavy machinery, stuff I love to write about, into the United States and North America. And Sylvie, thanks so much for being on the show.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. So this is a really exciting thing. So we were trying to do this in like a really structured kind of like, I'm going to ask questions, you're going to answer them way. And there just seemed like a whole lot here to talk about. So for people who aren't familiar with the C40 program, with the Clean Construction Program, can you give us like a 30,000 foot view of that?
Absolutely. So New York City is a member of the C40 Clean Construction Accelerator, which is a coalition of multiple cities around the world committing to clean construction practices as kind of a North Star for our municipal operations and citywide activities moving into the future. What we have done as New York City, kind of leading an additional offshoot of this accelerator, is launched the first ever North American Electric Construction Coalition, the NAECC, which is a long acronym, but we're really happy about it. We have six North American cities and seven private sector partners signed on to our open letter to the market, trying to really spur the market for electric construction equipment in North America in our urban contexts. And we really hope that this is the first real step towards convening stakeholders in this space, from manufacturers to equipment rental companies to the private sector developers to the public sector, like New York City government, to really start to get our hands around this issue.
It's really important. You know, we talk about this on a lot of episodes that we've done in the past about both the hard and soft benefits of electrification. So from a fleet side, from a construction side, from an engineering side, you do have a much more efficient, lower total cost of ownership on the electrification side. But from the point of view of, I don't want to use the word customers, but certainly in your case, constituents, the fact that they can go and live their lives without the incredible noise, without the diesel fumes and exhaust fumes, without the, you know, asthma issues and respiratory issues associated with that, and frankly, without the hearing loss, I think it is a huge thing. Are you finding that there's kind of a universal support for this? Because I can't think of anybody on any side of the political aisle who just says, man, you know what I really miss is more noise.
Absolutely. I think this is an issue that is really unique because we have a solution that is in some cases super viable, right? Electric construction equipment for certain equipment types is available and on the market, but in some other cases, they're not available yet in North America. In Europe, we see jurisdictions like Oslo, Norway, where 70, 80% of all of their construction equipment is electric. And the change in not just greenhouse gas emissions, but really this is a quality of life issue, is just incredible. Anecdotally, from what we've heard from jurisdictions that have really started to make this transition, is that folks are experiencing less noise pollution, less air pollution. It helps construction workers and neighborhoods alike. You know, New York City, as one of the biggest global cities, is on the verge of its 400th birthday this year, and we are continuing to grow. We are never going to stop growing, and that means that construction is never going to really stop occurring. Every single person in New York City understands what a construction site on your block, within, on your walk to the subway, looks like and sounds like and feels like, and this is a real issue for everyone. So I fully agree with you that this is an issue that we've seen widespread interest and support for across the political aisle. I wouldn't necessarily consider this a political issue. It's really a quality of life issue.
Oh, 100%. But, you know, paid views always come from politics, right? So I,
yeah,
conscious of that. I agree with everything you said there. I think it's a great quality of life metric, not only for the people who live around these machines, but the people who work on these machines as well. Obviously, you're still in the open letter phase. This is not something that you could directly speak to, but I feel like I can speak to this a little bit, having just come back from Volvo days, where we were operating a lot of this electric heavy equipment that's available overseas, and the ability that we had to simply carry on a conversation, from the cockpit, even down to the ground level, and just having that ability to look out and just say, stop, and be able to hear that, I think is a tremendous safety concern as well. And I think you're going to have fewer workman's comp cases, you're going to have fewer construction delays because of injury or sickness. And I think it's just going to make everything easier for everybody around there. With the people that have signed this so far, coalition partners, are you getting a response that's basically people from the industry? Or are you seeing that, you know, American Lung Association, American Medical Association, are you seeing that, you know, Teamsters Union, Operator Union kind of support?
So first, I think it's important to fully list out the coalition, just so that everybody is aware of who's currently signed on. In addition to New York City, we have six other cities, including Austin, Texas, Boulder County, Colorado, Los Angeles, California, Montreal up in Canada, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and of course, the city of San Diego. In addition to those cities, we have multiple private sector partners kind of spanning from the Sustainable Purchasing Leadership Council to the U.S. Green Building Council of California, Carbon Leadership Forum, the American Institute of Architects in New York and Los Angeles, and then more so to your point on the building trades and the union folks, we have the Building Trade Employers Association in New York, which really leads in, you know, coalescing New York's contracting community together. And on the developer side, we have Consigli as a part of our coalition. And we are by no means closed. We really want as many folks as possible, both on a city government side and on a private sector, you know, developer, union, stakeholder. This touches a lot of components of our life, right? So we are in this sort of open letter phase, to your point, where we've launched this thing. People know about it. We want people to start talking about this issue. And we also want people to come on board because we're really excited by the attention and interest that we've gotten so far. But really, you know, putting pen to paper, putting logos to this coalition is really the phase that we're in right now, right? So I guess as a as an open call for this open letter, if those who are listening to this podcast are interested, I would highly recommend they reach out to us.
That's actually a really good segue into this next question that I wanted to ask. So for people who want to become a part of this, who want to read the letter and possibly sign the letter themselves and become part of the coalition, where do they go do that? And by doing that, what kind of benefits do you think they can expect to see?
Absolutely. And I think we can put in the show notes of this episode a source link to our New York City Mayor's Office of Climate and Environmental Justice Clean Construction webpage that really has all you need to know about the North American Electric Construction Coalition, the open letter itself, and an email that you can reach out to us to really get involved. The benefits that folks and signatories can probably see to first begin is setting a North Star, as is an incredibly important first step in a lot of these sustainability and decarbonization conversations that we're having at municipal levels. And then secondly, going into the next year, we have really tangible touch points and goals that we really want to hit. Those include first creating an electric construction equipment comprehensive inventory. So that's something that we're working on this fall, is developing a list of what equipment is currently available on the market and what equipment that we expect to see come to the market in the next year or two. That happens organically on a company by company level right now, but nobody has coalesced that information together yet. So that's something that's really tangibly going to come out of this coalition by the end of this year. And then moving into 2025, we want to have open roundtable discussions with coalition members from both the city side, the private sector side, and then invite to the table the equipment manufacturers, the rental companies, everybody in this ecosystem that really plays a part in unlocking this decarbonization, and talk about the challenges and talk about the opportunities and develop a roadmap collectively where we can talk about pilot projects on city projects or in private sector projects, where we can learn from each other, lead by example with other cities that are not yet involved in the coalition, and show that we are serious about this commitment. And, you know, considering the impact of the construction sector on global CO2 emissions, we needed to do this now, going into 2025 and no later, because I think it came out last year that the construction sector is responsible for like close to 23% of global CO2 emissions. We don't exactly know what percent of CO2 emissions come from construction equipment. It's really hard to quantify right now. But in doing this, in starting the conversation about what is happening on construction sites, we want to increase the transparency, look under the hood, so to speak, and bring people in and call people in, as opposed to doing this piecemeal.
Yeah. And that's super smart, you know, and not to turn this into a Volvo commercial, but you know, I'm good buddies with those guys and Dr. Ray Gallant over there at Volvo Construction Equipment, who recently had me out for Volvo days. We were having this exact conversation and he said something that was really smart, which is, it might be 20%, it might be 15, it might be 30. Ultimately, it doesn't matter, because as the passenger car segment electrify, construction is lagging behind and they're becoming a bigger and bigger piece of a smaller pie. And it's good that the pie of emissions is getting smaller, but now where nobody was looking, everyone is saying, how come this tiny slice of the market is taking up 30% of it? We need to address it. And being seen as a leader there, being seen as a thought leader there, is huge. Now, Sylvie, you and I were connected through some of our mutual friends at ICF and you know, their work with administering a lot of these utility sector and state level rebates. In forming this coalition and talking to some of the industry partners, I'm sure that incentives, rebates, tax incentives, things like that have been coming up as points of discussion. Is this something that's on everybody's radar within the mayor's office, or is this something that is going to come after the fact?
It's a great question. And we have coalition members out in California, both Los Angeles and San Diego. And something that California is doing to lead by example is having California Core incentives for off-road equipment. That's the first incentive that I know of in the country that's really targeting the electric construction equipment subsector. Right? So this California Core incentive, bringing down the initial price of these pieces of equipment, has been really helpful, I'm sure, in those jurisdictions. And based on conversations we've had with manufacturers and equipment company representatives, like from Volvo, is that the market there is much more profitable for them. Folks are more willing to buy those pieces of equipment. And so with that in mind, and it's not too challenging of a concept to think about, we probably need to start advocating for these pieces or these incentives in New York, in Pennsylvania, in the other states that we have coalition cities, right? We have a model from California. Maybe there are learnings there, pieces there that we can bridge the gap across the country, so to speak, between, you know, our state government, which has a lot of potential to do incentives. For example, NYSERDA has incentives for EV trucks right now. How could that incentive be repurposed for electric construction equipment? I think those conversations need to begin so that as we send this market signal, the folks on the ground purchasing and renting this equipment really have a viable way of paying for it.
Great response. I know we're coming to the end of our time commitment here, so I want to give you some time to tell everybody how we can get to you in addition to the source link. I do have one last question, though. When we talk about Southern California, particularly Los Angeles, San Diego, the Port of Long Beach, there is a municipal level legislation there, what they call, what some places will call low emission zones or quiet streets and things like that, where they are requiring zero emission vehicles. in certain environments within the city limits. Do you see that as something that is going to make sense for New York in the near future?
You know, New York is so dense, and that's a really a distinction between New York and Los Angeles or San Diego. However, you know, we are still closely monitoring a sort of on-road congestion pricing policy in New York City. And I think if congestion pricing turns out to be a viable solution for us, the sort of low emission zones model could be something that we explore. However, right now, our city model and our city kind of framework is to first begin with our municipal construction sites and figure out what specific pieces of equipment we can electrify and how we can push the envelope and do workforce development trainings and doing reskillings so that on a site by site level, we can start to see the change that we need to see.
All right. That was a really good interview. And like, you're so good at this. For people who want to find out more about this, I think, you know, climate.cityofnewyorkus is the way to go. We'll put the link in the show notes. Is there a better way to get a hold of you? Are you guys doing sustainable dances on TikTok or anything like that?
Not yet, but that is something that I should bring up to our comms team. We're always looking for new ways to engage. No, I would also say you can connect with the Mayor's Office of Climate and Environmental Justice on LinkedIn. We are very responsive. And if you, your company, or your city would like to get involved, that's a surefire way of finding us. And I'm so happy to be talking about this. And thank you so much, Joe, for the time.
Once again, that was Sylvie Bender. Great to have her on the show. And as I alluded to earlier in the video, we had a ton of people willing to come on the show this week, talk to us about everything that was going on in their industry and in the world of electrification as a whole. If there's a guest that you'd like to see on the show, some angle that you'd like explored, let us know in the comments. We'll do everything we can to get them on the show. And yeah, if you liked what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe, and we'll see you again tomorrow.